Weekly Dose of Fat, show number 110 for Friday, September 23rd, 2016.
Join us for our fabulous, modern, interpretive dance edition of the Weekly Dose of Fat with your host, Sven. We will wear bells around our ankles as proof of this majestic and folkloric dance.
And across the desk for me is the inimitable Mr. J.K. Living, everybody.
Thanks to Surly for sponsoring our show. Surly makes bikes and parts that don't suck like me. Learn more at surlybikes.com.
Hey, JK, tell our listener what we've got in store on the show this particular evening.
This week, we'll talk to Dave Schlabowski about Chris's slow roll to celebrate bike industry veteran Mr. Chris Kegel. Our special guest this week is the in absentia Mr. Uncle Gomez, as he calls in, from Lost Wages, with all the swag-tastic news from the Interbike Outdoor Dirt Demo in Boulder City, plus possibly a peek at what was happening on the show floor on Wednesday. We'll delve into beards and beer. Our crack panel will discuss the 10 best essentials to keep in your frame pack. And we'll share links from the interwebs.
It's the top of the hill. Top of the hill already, folks. We'll have Mr. Dave Schlabowski on the line in here in just a couple of minutes. But meanwhile, we've resurrected somewhat the beer segment of the show, where we'll just have a little bit more to talk about than Dale's Pale Ale. This is a seasonal from Founders. It's Mosaic Promise.
It's got a pretty label.
It's a single hop ale. I will give it a swallow now, and then we'll tell you a little bit about what we learned about it over at the Beer Advocate.
Well, it got a 91. On the ye old, wow, that's something else.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, 5.5 ABV, so it's not knee-walking.
Right, yep, had a few of those in the past.
And those bitter IBUs.
Yeah, I don't even...
At was 50.
50. Kind of in the middle of the road a little bit.
Yeah, it's got flavor.
Flavor all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to give it a couple more swallows. How's the beard thing going?
It's continuing. It's going outwards.
And yes,
outwards,
it is.
Outwards and downwards.
Yeah, I can see that from here.
And I've got a wedding in like 2 weeks that I have to kind of figure out how to negotiate that and the mop on the head.
Right on. Well, we have a caller. Let's see who we have on the line. Welcome to the radio program.
Mr. Smith, it's Mr. Sivo. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, Sivo, you're out there in Vegas, huh?
That I am.
Cool.
For better or for worse.
Are you having fun at the Interbike yet?
It's really been slow as far as the show itself goes. Like the traffic just isn't nearly what it's been in the past.
Okay. I think we kind of heard a little bit about that going into it with a lot of the majors doing like their own dealer shows and, you know, doing separate events outside the Interbike canopy.
Well, and when you see fairly big names not there, like, you know, your Rocky Mountain's not there and Velocity's not there, people that were always at this in the past. And like Dirt Demo was really anemic as well on Monday.
Yeah, we're gonna.
I've seen local demos get more people.
Right on. We're gonna talk to Gomez a little later. He was out there on Monday and Tuesday, I believe. So maybe he's got some stuff to report. I saw he got some pictures of some stuff. There's still cool things happening in the fat bike space and a lot of stuff in the plus bike space. So.
The plus bike stuff. I mean, just walking around, you can definitely see that plus is a very universal thing that everybody has out showing off. So a lot of new tires from different companies. So
cool. Well, we've got a caller calling in that we're going to talk to about an event, and you want to just hang out for a little bit?
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to put you back in the queue. Talk to you in a bit. All right, everybody. It's time for the event of the week. This week, it's a little bit of a somber event. You know, sometimes we get some news we'd rather not get. And Chris's Slow Roll is a ride to celebrate the life of Chris Kegel. He's a bike industry legend. He's actually a local guy, so I think everybody around here knows him. He owns the Wheel and Sprocket chain of bike shops that's been around forever in the southeast Wisconsin area. He was recently diagnosed with a rare and fast-paced form of cancer, and prognosis isn't great. So to tell us more about the ride and the celebration of all that Chris has meant to the bike industry, we've got Bike Fed of Wisconsin's Dave Schlabowski on the line to give us specifics of the ride, a little more about Chris and the day's events that are happening this Sunday, September 25th in Milwaukee. Welcome, Dave.
Thanks a lot, Greg. Yeah, I wish I was calling in under a little bit more sunny circumstances, but you know, the upside of this is that we really do get to celebrate the life of a guy who is really a cycling legend, not just around here, but in the United States, across the country, and really beyond. I was in visiting Chris at the hospital the other day, and there were people here from all across the country inside visiting him. There was one guy who heard about it. He was up camping in his RV up in Ottawa, and as soon as he heard about it, he pulled up stakes and drove straight through to Milwaukee. And he's got his RV set up now at the State Fair Park where the ride is going to start on Sunday. So
right on.
So yeah, Chris, you know, yeah, he was, in addition to, you know, owning the Wheel and Sprockets and you know, providing ride support for, you know, hundreds of rides around Wisconsin for decades, Chris has been, you know, on the board of directors for the Wisconsin Bike Fed, on the board of directors for the League of American Bicyclists, on the board of directors for IMBA, on the board of directors for the, you know, Bicycle Dealers Association. So, I mean, on and on and on.
Yeah, for sure.
And he's been doing this stuff for, you know, decades, and always, anybody that knows Chris, always with a smile on his face. He is like the most likable guy you'll meet in the bike industry, and there's lots of reasons that many in the bike industry will tell you, although it's fun to be in it, there are oftentimes reasons not to smile, but I've never seen Chris when he wasn't smiling, so...
Yeah, I mean, I used to see him regularly riding his tandem, you know, he's riding all over the place, or a tandem, sorry, oh, yeah. Recumbent, I should say.
Yeah, right. He walks the walk or rides the ride, you know. For years, he lived up in Mequon and commuted daily to the store in Hales Corners. He now lives in Milwaukee, but he rides, you know, thousands of miles a year, and really is an inspiration to me. Has been for, I bought my first adult bike from him way back when I was a professional photographer, and the store in Hales Corners was over on Forest Home. And he's been an inspiration ever since then for me, both in advocacy and you know, and just beyond that how to be a salmon swimming upstream for so long and keep a positive attitude about it. So I was in visiting, as I said, and Chris said he'd really like to have a bike ride for him. So all the folks at Trek who've been in visiting were immediately jumped on board. And so they're pulling out all the stops. They're printing T-shirts that are going to be free. They're bringing in tents. They're buying the food for the party at Kegel's Inn afterwards. There's going to be, of course, there's a Packer game on, and nobody will want to miss that out. So there's going to be a big screen TV outside. They're blocking off the street outside of Kegel's Inn. And there's no cost for any of this stuff. It's all just a celebration of you know, Chris Kegel. Hopefully we can really blow this up.
Right on. The ride gets underway at 10, but people start meeting about 9 at State Fair Park.
Yeah, right. That's to pick up a T-shirt and stuff like that. And we're gonna meet in the parking lot by the Pettit Center, the park and ride spot there, 76th and Adler. You can get at it from 84th and Adler too. They're meeting there just because there's so many people coming in from out of town that they wanted a big parking lot for people to park and get on their bikes. So then we'll head east on the Hank Aaron State Trail, which is right there and we'll ride down to Lakeshore State Park, where there are going to be a bunch of banners up that people can sign and leave a nice little note for Chris. And then we're going to ride back to the party at Cagle's Inn. And we'll also have a bunch of people on the route shooting stills and some video. If you go to chriscagle.com, they're collecting stories about that people, little vignettes of people's memories of Chris and how he's impacted their life in a positive way. And so we're going to have some shooters on the ride doing short little interviews. So watch for me. I'll have a camera and a handful of other people will be there doing the same.
All right, man. Well, thanks for taking time out of your evening to tell us about this. I think everybody that can go should go. It's Sunday, September 25th. That's like 2 days from now. And
yeah, this Sunday, yeah.
Right. And State Fair Park, easy to find. And hope to see you there. Thanks a lot, Dave.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thanks a lot, guys.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty. Dave Schlabowski telling us about that ride. Sounds like something I'll be at.
Yeah, I was doing the math in my head.
What time do I have to get up? Well, let's go ahead and take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to call Mr. Uncle Senior Gomez out there in Las Vegas.
Whether you carry your bikes on your roof or with a hitch, the best way to get your fat bike to the trail is with a rack from 1UP USA. 1UP USA uses stainless steel hardware on their all-aluminum racks and come with a lifetime warranty. 1UP USA racks are made in the USA, right in Wisconsin. Visit 1UPUSA.com for more information on the fastest loading, highest quality rack solutions.
Hey, this is Paul from Paul Components. You're listening to Fat Bike Radio. Have a great ride.
And we're back with our special guest, Gomez. Sven is punching his digits now.
Punching digits to see if beep, we can get our friend Uncle Gomez on the phone here.
Beep, boop.
It's doing its thing. I don't know what that thing is. It happens like with squirrels and lions that go above the desert and stuff.
Do you need something to assist you with using your telephoning device?
Bueno.
Hey, there he is. It's Uncle Gomez coming through 5x5 from out there in Las Vegas.
Happy hump day.
Way. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. I'm good, man.
You got there Monday, is that right?
Yeah, Monday. The red eye. So, 100 degrees that day. The show progressed.
Right on.
I put stuff on the internet.
Yeah. So, well, obviously, you made it out there. You reported on what you saw.
So are we going to talk about that? What we're going to do?
We could talk about that. You're the man on the scene. You're the street reporter. You're the person with the knowledge. Lay on us what you want to lay on us.
Yeah, I have the media badge and the dirty shoes and the dirty knees. So as you might have heard, the Outdoor Dirt demo was markedly smaller. I mean, like empty real estate, like at least 50% smaller.
I saw a guy had a canopy company that was trying to fill his canopy.
So that's the first thing, is there were fewer bikes that you could demo, but I don't think that the crowds, as far as the dealers, I think none of the dealers really got the memo, and there was a good crowd of people to ride. So the people that did have bikes were slinging a lot of bikes.
Yeah. I read somewhere that Pivot was just slammed, that they couldn't keep them on the rack. Everybody was on the mountain.
Yeah, many times I had to wait to get a bike.
Wait, what? Don't they know who you are?
Dude, yeah. So, and I never got to ride this Cannondale bike that I wanted to ride because they were always gone. So the people that were there really got a lot of people on their bikes. And I think that that's, it's kind of a strategic advantage for some companies that did go there, that they got their new wares shown. For instance, Otso, man, that company got a leg up because there weren't that many. Surly had their full new demo fleet going, but, you know, they didn't have to compete with a bunch of other carbon fat bikes. I got to ride that bike. I thought it rode really well. There's a ton of innovation coming from them, that 83 millimeter bottom bracket shell.
So, with
a narrower Q factor.
Would you consider this then, you know, it's kind of being on the cutting edge in 2016, like a Generation 3 fat bike? We kind of went through the original.
Yeah.
So,
this has the sliding dropouts that we've seen from Pivot and Trek and a couple of other companies. And it also has the narrow Q factor. Pivot said that they have a narrow Q factor, but it's a 100 millimeter shell still.
Okay.
So, I mean, this is really a one-of-a-kind fat and plus bike because they had their demo fleet split right down the middle with 27.5 plus tires and half the fleet having 26 by 4-inch tires, all with the new Terrain tires as well. And we'll be talking to Tim Krueger a little bit later, and he's involved with both of those companies.
Yeah,
they cool. also had a really cool handlebar bag that's fairly small, kind of replaces the gas tank bag. I really think it's the gas tank bag to the next level. Has a magnetically self-closing top, perfect size to put my camera in. I'm telling you, my camera's going to just live there forever. It's like the perfect fit for a little 3/5, 4/3, whatever that camera is.
Yeah, I saw how you had it mounted sideways on your handlebar. That's a cool way to mount it. Easy access.
That's the way it's designed to go.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense for whipping a camera out, for sure. Or food, or glassware, whatever.
What else? Yeah, that's what it's kind of for, is for snacking, but I saw it and I was like, oh, my camera, perfecto fit. So we're going to get a demo bike from the folks at Otso, and Ken from Fat Camp is going to do the review on that. So it's an extra large.
I was going to say, they have to make an XL then, don't they? Sizing for tall people.
So they definitely do.
Right on.
So okay. Surly was out there. They had all of their new demo bikes, so all of the ice cream trucks are yellow, and the Wednesdays are burgundy.
That's a very interesting color. If you captured that in the photos I saw on our site, that's a pretty stunning color.
It is very deep, deep, deep dark red, man. And the big news out of Surly was that they had a brand new Krampus. And they had the demo lead set up with the Manitou front fork. Excuse me, taking a drink of water there.
Drink of water. Parch that desert thirst.
Yeah. And the so I got to ride that bike. That really makes me want to trade up and get the new Krampus. They shortened the chainstays. They kept the rad, wide, slack front end, and it rides really nice.
So is there still a 29 plus, or have they gone in this direction just for the whole Krampus model?
No, Krampus is 29 plus. So I don't know. I said no, but it is 29 plus, the Krampus. And then the Karate Monkey, which is also new, they have a single speed version of that is 29er. And then they have a 1x11 version of it that is 27.5 plus. So, and they had all of those bikes there. I saw a ton of people riding Surly's, and that was the company that I thought, wow, those guys are just slinging those bikes out the door like crazy.
Very cool.
So, I mentioned Terrain tires. I want to say Terrain, but it's Terrain.
Yeah.
Terrain.
It's one of those interesting words because they ran out of most of the other, you know, easily accessible words.
Right. people are going to call it terrain. So they have a B-plus tire called the Chunk, which is lives up to its name. I rode that tire on a Hey Duke, and, oh, man, Hey Duke, it's pretty sweet. And they also have a Wazia fat bike tire, which it's you know, it's been on the internet before, but I got to see the studs up close, and I should let Tim do his stud talk, but they're taller.
Why is he
going
to talk about you? Is that what you have to let him talk about you?
Yeah. No.
nope.
So I rode both those tires, and both are, you know, good. I didn't ride them for long term, but damn, you know, and that's not, you know, you've ridden out there. It's a lot of loose, decomposed granite, sand. It's and rock. So,
yeah, for sure. There's a lot of sharp edges, and
you need
and,
a chunky tire.
Yep,
and
for sure.
Chunky tire. You'll look at the pictures, man.
That's
and
on
all of those tires.
Fatbike.com.
Come in a light casing, and then also an enduro casing, and all of the sidewall reinforcements, etc., are different on those. On all of their tires, I had the full presentation from Mr. Tim.
All right.
And so those that looks like a lively brand. I think Tim is the shining light of newness at the Inner Bike. And, you know, Otso and all of those other things. So something that isn't new, but they were there and had their wares there and have an improvement to their hubs, are the folks from Onyx Racing. So Jim showed me his little clamp-on seal that will go on the outside of all of their hubs that make them just completely water and dust proof. So
sweet.
He was pretty excited about that.
Those are
like,
on my.
These with you.
Those
here,
are on my 27 plus bike right now for show.
Show.
I got to ride his bike from LeMaire, and here's maybe this is the biggest news. Is like JP LeMaire, his dopamine full suspension. I rode it as a 29 plus with a lefty Olaf on it, and that's Jim's personal ride. So it was set up for my weight, and damn, if that isn't the nicest bike, I wanted to hate that bike. It's just like, oh damn.
I love how silent that hub is. It's just, you can sneak up on bears and deer and people and whatnot.
I wasn't even thinking of that when I was riding it, but yeah, that bike is sexy. That and just ridiculously cushy and.
Hey, speaking of sexy,
really good.
We have one Mr. Tim Krieger that we've been talking about here on the line right now. Welcome, Tim.
Oh,
well,
shit.
Hello,
Tim Krieger. How's it going?
Wow, Tim is
pretty good. How are you guys tonight?
We're good. Tim is like super loud. That's awesome. You're good. All right.
Oh yeah, I'm in a casino right now, so you know I gotta talk loud just so y'all can hear me.
Killer. We've been talking a little bit about some of your stuff.
Oh, thanks.
You know.
Do I got yep, right? We are out here at Interbike right now. Yep, launching Terrain Tires, a brand new tire brand. From several people in the bike industry with a history of tire development, and we're trying to launch the first rider-focused tire brand to build products that are actually how we're all using our bicycles today.
That sounds like something that every rider should want.
Yeah. I got to ride your first two tires, and I have to say, thumbs up. Well done. That Chunk, I think. It's probably, did you have Bootleg Canyon, like, in your mind when you designed that tire? Because it just seems like the tire that I would want to take to that kind of abrasive, rocky conditions.
Yeah, well, I think that's not Bootleg in particular, but just trails in mind. I think one of the things that's missing in tire product development is actually looking at how a mountain bike tire is going to be used. And where mm-hmm. it's going to be used and what it needs to do. I think too many times the companies are worried about how they're going to market the tire and what the posted weight is going to be. And so they may skimp on tread design or skimp on casing toughness in order to get a lower posted weight that looks better online. Fortunately for us, none of us ride bikes online. And we actually ride bikes in the real world, right?
Light cycles.
So we're designing a bunch of tires that are actually designed to ride in the real world.
Killer. I live in the real world. So tell me a little bit about, fill us in a little bit about the studs. We were just kind of talking about how your studs are longer, thinner, concave, and tri-pointed. We actually didn't go into that much, but I'm trying to lead you into some stud talk.
Yeah, sure. So with studs, there's kind of two theories that in how studs work, and one of them would be surface area, and one of them would be penetrating the ice.
Penetrating.
In the sense that, yeah, we chose to penetrate the ice. think of it like an ice axe and how an ice axe works, right? An ice axe, you don't want a large surface area to your ice axe. You want a point that's going to dig deep into the ice and hold on to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we made a stud that has three points to it, kind of like a crown. And that is designed to be super sharp. In fact, they're sharper than anything else out there. When you're handling the tire, you actually have to be careful not to cut your knuckles. And it's a taller stud than other items on the market. And the combination of those two, the science behind how the stud works is that as opposed to trying to get surface area of a sharp surface and kind of grab the ice from the side, it's actually designed to deeply penetrate the ice like an ice axe and hold tight. And so we found, with that stud design, we found a lot of superior traction. So what we did is we actually, we found how many studs were necessary to truly make a rideable tire. And we were able to reduce the stud count to 154 studs on our tire, which, keeps the same overall traction of the tire, which, as we know, most studded tires we can pretty much go and do nose wheelies on glare ice today because they're so good.
Mm-hmm.
To keep that traction, we reduced it to 154 studs, which reduces the overall weight of the tire.
Are the aluminum sombrero with the carbide point right?
So yeah, of course. Stud. I mean, there's definitely an industry standard for a bicycle stud shape. Kind of, we all refer to it as the top hat. Where it inserts with a bigger disc that holds it into the tire. And yeah, we use a design with an aluminum top hat with a tungsten carbide insert that's press fit into the aluminum.
So I can stud some other tire then with your new studs. Is that going to be a possibility? Upgrading to the penetrating stud versus the surface area stud?
Yeah, most definitely. We'll have that stud kit available aftermarket.
Mix and match your studs, folks, and that'd give you a real fun ride.
That's right.
There we go.
Tim is not only in the stud business, but so yeah. Since we have you on the phone, we really wanted to kind of talk to you about. Before we get into how much of new business, new fat bike and plus bike business that you're involved with, maybe give us a. What your thoughts are on Interbike. We were just talking about outdoor demo being, you know, much smaller. Tell me what your thoughts are about the show.
Yeah, it's definitely getting smaller, and that's starting to concern me. There's actually a lot of chatter on the internet right now amongst, we'll say, the industry types about how Interbike is dying. And, you know, some people are almost happy to see it go, lauding the fact that, you know, they can get better value out of their own events and things like that. And I do see, like, that is the reason Interbike is definitely declining. And it's because the big brands are taking on they can put on their own events.
Right. So they
and then completely control the message.
Yeah, have a captive audience
exactly,
for sure.
Exactly. And that's where I don't think that's exactly where I'm going next is I don't think that's very good for our industry. Because what's happening is, those large brands are able to create a captive audience and selectively take what shops they want there and tell them what they want to tell them, and basically make, you know, make an end result that they, that is best for them. And what it does is it cuts out the small independent retailer who may not qualify to go to the big show for the big company. It cuts out the new retailer who's just starting up and nobody knows who they are. And it all cuts out, it also cuts out the small independent brands who are really driving innovation in our industry, right? So, it's going to be an interesting thing to watch, but I am actually, I'm very concerned and I'm actually saddened that it's a shrinking show because it is, because it's the only really independent show we have left that's not being controlled about who gets to go and who doesn't get to go by some bike brand or distribution brand. It's kind of the last bastion for the truly independents to meet and greet and get what they need.
Yeah, and those independent bike dealers, you know, that's the backbone. We take them for granted, but when you need something, when you have, you know, when you need something worked on that you can't figure out, you're looking for that independent bike dealer. And when those companies disappear, and I don't live in a big city, and I kind of got to drive ways to get to a good bike shop with a good service department. Those retailers are the backbone of the fat bike movement. I mean, you think about the shops that created their own brands. Those were all independent bike dealers. So I was driving back to the hotel and I was starting to actually get like, I was getting a little pissed about it, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Would we all want to go get the latest, greatest fat bike toy, and we all want to go kind of hang out with a good dose of cycling culture? I mean, none of us are going to the factory-backed chain stores, right? We're going to our local independents who definitely knows what's up and what's cool, right? Those are definitely the guys we need to support, and those are the guys this show is for.
Yeah, right on.
Right on.
Preaching to the choir. Well, preaching to the choir.
You certainly brought your A game to the Interbike.
Hey,
now,
yeah.
Let's talk about. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I keep them moving. We've got Mr. Tupper on the line. He's listening to us chatter here for a little while. And if you guys want to join in, we did have a segment about frame bags, but let's finish with your guys' stuff, and then maybe we can talk about that stuff. Hang out,
talk
Tupper.
Well, first of all, hi, Tupper. How's it going, buddy? but yeah, you were saying, Gomez, about my dream little empire here.
Yeah. We talked about, man, you have your hand in a lot of new companies. And, you know, the bike that I kind of picked as the best bike I saw at the outdoor demo was the Otso Wojtek, and you had a big hand in developing that. So tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, and that's it. Since I went independent almost exactly 2 years ago, it's been to where I wanted to support and create independent and new things and be innovative again, right? Like, I found myself kind of end up going down a route didn't want to go down. So I wanted to get to be an independent and really support the independent bike brands again. So what I've done is between a mix of building my own companies and consulting for other companies, definitely wanted to, I guess the best way to say it is I want to give the resources behind whether it's supply chain, manufacturing, logistics and importing that a big company may have, and kind of access that by having a bunch of small companies band together, right? So, yeah, I mean, I've helped with Otso, gotten those guys. That is an amazing bike. That's probably the leading carbon fat bike in the industry right now. You know, Tumbleweed. You guys have probably seen what Daniel has created there with a fat bike that can take a couple trips around the globe and, you know, get up wanting more. And then with my own companies, with Advocate Cycles, you know, obviously a new business approach that hasn't been done but is sorely needed in the cycling industry. Then this new launch with Terrain Tires. We've building fat bike tires that are big lug aggressive traction fat bike tires because that's actually why we ride fat bikes. We want the massive traction.
Tim, I got a question for you. Are there 8 days in your week? How do you do this? I mean, most of us only have 7, and you must have 8 or 9. How do you do it?
Oh, really good cocaine.
And you can get that out there in lost wages, folks.
No, actually, how we do it is what I mostly do is my skill is in the space between a concept and the first delivery of a bike. So building supply chain, putting connections together, and a lot of what I do isn't actually the work. A lot of what I do is connecting the right people to the right people. I'm actually as an entrepreneur, I'm very interested in how the world of new startup businesses has been drastically changing in the last 5 years, and it's going to continue to change with third-party service providers and new ways of performing all kinds of business functions with, you know, new IT systems and all of that. And so there's massive networks out there of service providers that help entrepreneurs get stuff done. And what I do a lot of the time is create those connections between the people that need them and the people that are offering them. So in the instance of, let's take, you know, one of these fat bike brands that we just brought to market, more than doing any work, what I do is, you know, if they need an engineer, connect them with an engineer. I've got Anna Schwinn always in the background, ready to take on any sort of engineering product and whip out another kick-ass product. You know, we need a manufacturer. I travel to Asia many times a year, know a bunch of factories over there, use several factories, and more than anything, the big ticket with Asia is just knowing who not to go to, you know, who's going to screw you. Yeah. And, you know, right. That's a huge leg up. That's a huge leg up that little startup businesses don't have. Many of them go over the first time. And, you know, there's lots of stories of I think other fat bike brands out there that have tried to start up and, you know, they ended up all of a sudden a year behind because they accidentally picked the wrong factory, got screwed the first time, and had to start over a year later. And so I help navigate those waters just through my experience and get people on the right path on the first time.
Right on. You got the knowledge.
I just thought of some questions that could really get us into trouble. So let's veer away from those, and let's. I'm going to steer you towards talking about the new bike from Advocate.
Yeah.
That I saw today.
Yeah, the Seldom Seen. Seldom Seen. If you guys are, any of you guys are Monkey Wrench Gang fans, Seldom Seen is another character from the book, the companion to Hey Duke, which is also our model of our mountain bike. So Seldom Seen is a bikepacking specific 27 plus bike. What we wanted to do, as Advocate, we're trying to make, our first and foremost, we donate 100% of our profits to cycling advocacy, but we also have smaller missions within, one of them being trying to reduce the cost of entry to getting people on some of these niche products and make affordable products that are really good and not going to fail or let somebody down as affordable as we can possibly make them, right? So Seldom Seen, coming out at $19.99 complete, is a chromoly steel 27 plus bikepacking rig that includes its own bolt-on frame bag and full SLX. Of course, with our new super gnarly that you absolutely loved, terrain chunk tires. Yeah.
Cool.
Very cool. And every brazon that you ever thought of.
You can bolt so much stuff to it. There was a media guy in the booth today, and we were talking about it, so we just decided to count. It's got 29 places to bolt shit to the frame.
I love it, man.
And I'm not exaggerating. That is literal.
The tubing that you use is also like a special butted tube set, right?
Oh, yeah. So going into the science of what we engineered, typical frames are, you know, double-butted chromoly steel is a common catchphrase we hear. And people don't always understand what it means, but all it means is a double-butted chromoly steel means that the ends of the tube are thicker, right? So there's two butt zones, essentially the thicker outer ends and the thinner center.
He said butt.
And then you go to, you know, all kinds of technological advances, but the crazy thing we did on the Seldom Seen was what's called eccentric quadruple butting. What that is the down tube actually has four different butt zones,
And the forward one is actually eccentric, meaning that it's thicker on the bottom of the tube than on the top of the tube.
That's cool.
Which can basically be explained as an integrated gusset. So we were able make all that instead of welding on a gusset and creating another heat-affected area. Everything's integrated into the drawn seamless tube, which both increases the strength of the frame and reduces the weight. And in the case of the Seldom Seen being a, you know, a big bikepacking rig designed to take a load, it's a steel frame that weighs relatively similar to our Heyduke, but is drastically stronger and stiffer to take the increased load of going out in the woods with all your gear.
Cool. And you had sponsored Lael Wilcox's, is it the Ride Across America, the Race Across America? Was that the project?
With Lael, I mean, Lael is actually, because she's such an excellent racer, Lael races for Specialized on their bikes,
mm-hmm.
Because they definitely kick in a real good sponsorship for her, which allows her to not have to work a real job and go keep doing kick-ass races and kick-ass things. We back Lael as a tourer. So when she's not racing, she's riding the Advocate Heyduke. And her and her partner, Nicholas Carmen, they are putting on the Baja Divide. So a divide race, bikepacking race down Baja that starts in January this year.
Cool.
And so they went out and did all of their planning aboard with her aboard the Advocate Heyduke. And then as Advocate and Terrain Tires, we're sponsoring the Baja Divide and helping them with the funding they need to put the race on, because it seems like after they put it out, we have an enormous amount of people interested. Seems like we're going to have a lot of people show up to do this thing. So we just doubled down on that. We decided to make a scholarship where we are going to provide a cash stipend and an Advocate Heyduke for one person that basically we think we can help get down the divide where they might have not otherwise had the chance.
Killer. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right on, huh? Tim. Just like we've been talking about, you're all over the face of fat biking now.
Hey, that's, I just want to make this world a little bit better. So
right on.
Every time a new awesome opportunity comes up, I have a hard time saying no. So I say yes. and then good things just seem to happen from there.
This is a good thing. Hey, speaking of good things, how about we take a quick break here, and we'll be back in just a little bit. We got a couple other things to go through, and blah-bitty-blah-bitty-blah. Right on, Tim. Thanks for all you've talked about today. It was awesome.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Man. All right, bye.
All right, have a good one.
All right, we'll see you. Bye.
Up in the Great White North, they make bikes for every trail and every season. RSD guarantees you'll have a smoking good time carving lines with their fatty mare. Next season, the big guy gets new builds with an optional Bluto fork up front, 1x11 setups, and new colors too. The most playful fatty on the market still clocks in under 30 pounds for less than 2 grand. Or talk to your RSD bike dealer about any of the trick new options. And always keep the rubber side down.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Wow. Can you believe Tim Krieger? That guy has got he has to have 8 days in the week. It's unbelievable. So guess what we slid into is the Fatty Farm Field Report.
The Fatty Farm Field Report is brought to you by Richie. The folks at Richie have a special offer to our readers and listener on their Commando frame and fork for just $375. Just use the discount code Julio at checkout.
Every time I see that number, I'm like, wow, that's amazing. So speaking of other amazing things, we'd like to hear from our readers about what you found to be amazing to your fat bike lifestyle. Think of something that you've used and abused over the last few seasons, and you go out and buy it again because it was so kick-ass the first time. Then take a good, clear picture of that item. Write a paragraph that describes your reasoning. And that is because your nomination would be eligible for the highest honor from you of the Gnome Proof Seal of Approval. Place your words and pixels in an email to gomez@fat-bike.com and we'll compile a list of all the things you guys think are great.
In this week's special segment, we are going to discuss the 10 most important things we carry in our frame bags.
Yeah, that's something that probably changes for people, but it gave me pause to look and see what might be in my bag. And speaking of bags, we've got Tupper Becker from up there in Alaska who makes said frame bags. So I thought, well, who better to tell us either, one, what he carries in his own bag, or even maybe more importantly, what people that are doing these amazing races might have in their bags and how he could possibly customize it for specific uses. So welcome to the program, Mr. Tupper Becker.
Oh, thanks for having me on, gentlemen.
So what do you think about what goes into a frame bag? Do you have like a standard pack for, or do you tailor it to the exact ride?
Yeah, so in Alaska, the most common thing that I get requested is some way to carry firearms, like usually, some kind of handgun.
And they want to
carry to where it doesn't bang up the frame or doesn't bang up the pistol. But that's like, I guess you could say that's strange, but not for up here because everyone goes out in the woods with guns up here. But I had someone request like a secret hidden zippered pocket. That was kind of off the wall, but nothing really out of the ordinary, like even the strange things, I think. But I think my list is pretty boring, probably pretty typical for what we do up here, like what anyone would pack on a ride. And we obviously do like a bike multi-tool, your tube, your pump, and then I've got a couple of master links and valve cores. And these are all just for a day trip, like 10 to 30 miles. And then, depending on what type of season or what season we're in, I may bring like an extra thermal and or shell, just for like worst case scenario. Toilet paper or baby wipes.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Spoon. Yeah.
Out in the wilderness. We're more city oriented for a lot of our rides. So that's something I got to remember though, because you never know.
Oh, it's so friendly when somebody has those handy pipes around. I'm like, that's a brilliant idea. They're and I don't know why I didn't think of that earlier.
When you're pooping in the woods, you want to treat yourself,
For sure. Little lanolin on there.
I nice. Have a collapsible bowl and cup too. That's like the last thing.
A collapsible bowl?
Yeah, or a cup. That's for like day trips. Like my overnight kind of stuff is it's all similar stuff to that. And then in addition, maybe a snow collection bag if it's wintertime, a stove, extra socks, and then a reflective heat blanket. But that's just stuff in my frame bag, other bags I carry other things, additional gear, but just in frame bag, that's about all I can pack in there. And that's pretty loaded at that point.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, obviously the firearm, I don't know, maybe some people would carry one down here in the lower 48, but I wouldn't think as many as up there. That's something I didn't even consider. So, a little bit condition specific for sure, but obviously, when you're urban riding versus real Alaska, it's a little different story.
Well, yeah, and I think it's mainly just the moose thing. When you have a 1,200-pound moose on the trail, it doesn't want to move, and you can't, either get back to your car or get to your cabin out in the woods. It's either fire a few shots to scare it off if it's not going to move, or if you get attacked or whatever. Probably 9 times out of 10, they never even have to pull it out, which is great.
For sure. Absolutely. Right on, man.
We have gnomes here, and if you just clap your hands.
Just clap your hands.
Gnomes. And they come out and do some gnome ninja kung fu and, scare the moose away.
No, as opposed to moose, you have gnomes.
Oh, as opposed to moose?
We don't need firearms. All we need is a titanium toothpick, and you just poke them in the head with that, and then they run away.
That's all it takes.
It's called gnome piking.
Mm.
Yeah.
So is that one of the items?
I carry a pump. I carry a patch kit. I carry a multi-tool, 2 tire levers, a pocket knife, a inner tube inside of a beer koozie, assortment of zip ties, a space blanket, a reflective blanket. I think that's what you're talking about. But yeah, they're from space, man!
In space. The outer frontier.
And several Ziploc baggies, just in case I get caught in a downpour, I can throw my electronics in there. But now with your sweet frame bag, I would trust my electronics in there. But in a true downpour, a dirge, maybe I would put them inside the Ziploc bags as well.
You can't go wrong with double protection.
Yeah, double
for sure.
Bag
double
that.
Bag that sucker. Dude, can't have enough protection sometimes. Water's insidious.
And in the winter, in the wintertime, I would freaking always have a puffy jacket with a hood, extra gloves, extra socks, extra hats, because that's how I judge my how long a ride is how many hats I sweat through, as opposed to miles.
Right.
Two or three hat ride. That's pretty good.
Yeah, two. That's a long one. That's a long one. Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I carry.
So we've kind of nice. Talked about, you know, tougher up in Alaska where the obviously the conditions are different and more often than not you're out in the wilderness. Gomez, I think, straddles the line between being out in, you know, where there's not a lot of services and whatnot, and also urban riding. But for a true urban rider, we've got JK in the studio. So, you know, when a guy basically uses his bike for transportation, rides around town, goes on a lot of organized local rides that are really a lot of fun. What do you put in your frame bag, JK?
The primary is my lock. I got one of those kryptonite like chain ish locks that are ridiculously heavy.
Yeah,
and cumbersome and
way more than your bike.
And in our area, needed.
And you just like drop it in the middle, and it's like, okay, body, you compensate after two rides. Now you know,
right?
You know. So there's that. I mean, and I have one of those like little pencil bags made out of used tubes.
Uh huh.
And you know, it fits a lot of crap, which that also fits into the bag.
Right.
So you can put all like my charging crap and my tools and. Just the whatevers.
So that's only one item, though, even though there's multiple items inside. It's only one of the 10. I kind of went this route, too, I think.
Flask. There's got to be a flask. There's.
So the liquid in the flask doesn't count. That's maybe two things, but it only counts as the flask.
There has to be a flask filled with something. Normally, I have a pump that's strapped up in there. But apart from that, I normally roll with a backpack like constantly just to keep me upright. Otherwise, I'm slouching. And like have to have the counterbalance.
It's like pulling your shoulders back for you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like that. But and you never know. You're the guy that has space to carry a 12 pack and you know,
or an 18 pack or whatever.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
But absolutely. If I have to transfer all that down, it totally can roll that way.
Oh, I've seen you do a lot of stuff like hanging a boombotix off the side of the bag and you know. You've got a bunch of stuff in there that maybe might be glassware sometimes. Yeah. You never know.
Unknowingly. Oops.
Hey, out here in the local news, a calf with two faces was born.
Do you have live?
You're not
do you have
the little alien.
Do you have 13 footage?
13 Action News, cow born with two faces. Yeah.
You're not at the little alien.
Balls out here.
Well, that's New Mexico.
Oh, little aliens in New Mexico. Yep, yeah. For sure.
Oh. It was close. I was feeling it.
All right, guys. Well, we're getting towards the end of the show here. Any final words, Tup?
I keep all of Tim's cocaine in my frame bag.
There you go. Item number 11. All right.
That 40 below
the
bag,
most important
man,
one.
That would be like one giant line.
Yeah.
I drink your milkshake.
Yeah, or Grandmaster Flash.
I drink it up. Drainage, Daniel.
All right, thanks, Tupper. Appreciate your input, and we'll talk to you again, I'm sure.
All right, take care, gentlemen.
Bye, Tup. Are you Rob? Okay, next week you're gonna sponsor the Fatty Farm Field Report. Yay!
Okay,
yay! Sponsor. Excellent. Thanks, Tup.
Thanks, all gentlemen. Right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
All right, see you later. He thinks we're gentlemen.
All right. What do you think? Any final clothing thoughts?
I just want to say, like, of all the bikes that I rode at the outdoor demo, I think my favorite, it was the first bike I rode, though, because it was really close to the Krampus, but I think it's that Advocate Hey Dudes, man. It just felt right. I just think that B-plus wheel size for a mountain bike for me is, like, just right.
Yeah, especially for, like, what the conditions are like at Bootleg Canyon, I'd agree with you that a good burly 27-plus tire, especially since that's a gravity place pretty much, you know, you can mm-hmm. you can grind up the hill, but they'll also drive you to the top. So, you know, you can get a few runs in, and you're going to want a tire that's got some, you know, capability to take, like, sharp-edged rocks and still can blast through pulverized, like, almost sand, you know, conditions at the bottom of all the whoops and whatnot.
And I guess if I had one other thing that I'd like to mention is that I saw a pretty cool B-plus rim at the head booth today, about 40 millimeters wide in the B-plus size. And they also have the 27.5 by 80 millimeter fat bike size for bikes like the Trek and the Rocky Mountain.
That oh, yeah, yeah.
Featuring that size. So... so you can get your lightest and bestest in market carbon hoops, single wall hoops, in that size now for the fat bike and for the B plus size. And Andy said, man, I should just send Sven that Appleman carbon 24-inch 24x4 fat bike down for him to test. I was like,
I got a little bit of time on it when he was here, what, last year, but no, that's
that was the cake.
This oh, that was the cake.
Completely oh, okay. Custom carbon version.
Oh, that's when I saw, like, yeah, I saw it when we were at
21 pounds or something.
When we were up at the Fat Bike Berkey last year, that's where I saw it. I took some photo of it and just rode it around the parking lot. I didn't take it any further.
He should just send that down here for you to ride for a month.
All right, then.
I was like, well, I'll check it out and see if Sven can fit it into his schedule.
That might get me back on a bike again, having something cool like that. Or at least a fat bike, because it's been kind of road plus for the summer a little bit more. Anyway.
Well, you know, and it also, it's a whole new wheel size for you
true that.
To experience, you know.
All right, Mr. Gomez, we have come to the end of the show.
From Las Vegas, Nevada. I'll let you guys close the show.
Thank you very much.
And we'll talk more about this, the shrinkage, the bike market, and how fat bikes aren't cool anymore next week.
Yeah, there's gonna be more coming. This show ain't over yet, folks. All right, Gomez. Adios, amigo.
Hi, dudes. Yep.
Later.
Hey. With that said, we're going to go ahead and let you guys just go check out the links. There's some kind of cool stuff in there this week. Go check it out. Just see what we got. We always got good stuff in there. And we are out of time for this Fat Bike Group Therapy Session, boys and girls.
Our show this evening has been brought to you by the Bikes, Parts, and Chaos of Surly Bikes. Learn more at surlybikes.com.
Hey, did you know that you can call 818-918-2453 anytime, day or night, and leave us a message? It could be about anything. What's in your frame bag? You know, anything.
Currently.
Call. You can do that.
Yeah, ramble.
We do have a new design that will be coming to our fatbike.com store. You can see a preview picture of it in the show notes this week, and should be up mid-next week, probably. We're doing a sample just to make sure we got it right, and when it's good to go, we'll release it out to you people. And, again... thank you very much, Gomez, for calling in, and all the other fine guests. See you next week.
Till then.
You've been listening to Fat Bike Radio's weekly dose of fat. Find us on the web at fat-bike.com/radio. We'll see you next time.